Jesus said, "I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live. And whoever lives and believes in me shall never die." The Lord is near to those who have a broken heart and saves such as have a contrite spirit. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers him out of them all. The Lord redeems the soul of his servants, and none of those who trust in him shall be condemned. Then I heard a voice from heaven saying to me, "Write, blessed are the dead who die in the Lord from now on. Yes, says the Spirit, that they may rest from their labours, and their works follow them." Well, on behalf of the congregation that meets here at Morton Chapel, I welcome you to this service of thanksgiving for the life of Bernard Liddell. My name is Jonathan, and I was until recently the pastor here. It's a pleasure and a privilege to conduct this service, even though, of course, it is a sad day too. On behalf of the family, may I thank the congregation here for hosting the service today, and may I thank you all very much for coming. We're going to turn to the Lord in prayer. Let's pray together. Almighty God, the loving Father of all who love our glorious Saviour, Jesus Christ, we come to you now to be still. We come to humble ourselves. We come to give you praise and to give you thanks for the life of our dear brother Bernard. Lord, our hearts are full with many memories, emotions, and feelings. Look upon us, have mercy on us, and bless us. May we feel and know the presence and power of the Holy Spirit in all that we think and say and do. Come, Lord, to be with us, to comfort us, and to teach us. We ask this in the name of our Saviour and for his sake. Amen. Well, let's stand to sing our first hymn of praise to God for the great gift of his Son to us. Our first hymn, "To God Be the Glory, Great Things He Has Done."
Son, who Behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must be on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible has put on incorruption, and this mortal has put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, Death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your sting? O Hades, where is your victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labour is not in the vain of the Lord.
Thank God for his word. We'll now hear the tribute which the family have compiled. Thank you.
Hello, I'm Paul. I'm Bernard's nephew, and Ian's just in the reader, was his other nephew. Before I start just with the memories of the family, I think the words of the last hymn, great things he has taught us, great things he has done, and great our rejoicing through Jesus the Son, but purer and higher and greater will be our wonder, our transport, when Jesus we see. I think those are fitting words as I speak about my Uncle Bernard. Well, what is there to say about Bernard de Liddell? There is so much to say about Uncle Bernard. And here are some of the memories that Yvonne, Giles, Amy, Ian and myself have put together. Uncle Bernard had a varied and thoroughly interesting career. Although his longest job was working in the accounts department for British Aerospace, as it was then called, he drove tanks in the army, he worked as a telecoms engineer, he was a driving instructor, he was a landlord at a guest house, a shopkeeper, a groundskeeper. Actually, it would be easier to list the things he hasn't done rather than tell you what he did do. He had an adventurous side. It took him to Germany during his national service and to Aden, now in Yemen, for later work. And I remember seeing photographs of him on the beach driving cars, as this would be a theme that comes through a little bit through the memories. And also to Romania, where he distributed aid in more recent years. Uncle Bernard had a very practical interest in mechanical things, and he liked speed. And it led to racing cars in various motorsport disciplines, including track racing and hill climbing. It also led to Amy feeling rather travel sick quite often as he drove along the hilly roads of North Yorkshire quite quickly. And a fairly recent memory I have is travelling with Uncle Bernard in his car along the narrow country roads near Filey in Yorkshire. And he was there driving along with his driving gloves, driving cap. It was exhilarating and he had a big smile on his face. And he just said, this is fun, isn't it? His enthusiastic side sometimes bit off a bit more than it could actually chew, with car restorations and other projects not quite getting finished. He had a scheme to teach Giles to grow up speaking German, and he started playing him tapes at breakfast time, but it didn't quite succeed. The model airplane he was making for Giles' 7th birthday never quite got off the ground, but he was so close to finishing it. There's also a model boat at my parents' home in Filey that Uncle Bernard started, but didn't quite finish. He liked quiet, order, detail and precision. He was a very caring man. In my mum's last few months, before she passed away last year, she lost my dad, her husband, in January last year. And she looked forward to the phone calls that she had on a Friday evening. And it gave her some comfort that her older brother that she loved so much was remembering her. And they were able to speak about old times. And the last time I saw my mum on the Friday, she said, "Uncle Bernard's going to ring in a minute." And she so looked forward to those calls. He had a respect for nature and he enjoyed being outside a lot. Bernard and Yvonne both enjoyed walking, and they went to the Slimbridge Bird Sanctuary in recent years. And Bernard also had very fond memories of his pets when he was young. Giles, Amy, myself and Ian have lots of childhood memories. There were visits to the park, the holidays with family in Yorkshire. There was the Christmas lunches on Boxing Day when Giles and Amy and Uncle Bernard travelled up from Bristol all the way to Sheffield. And my mum was always waiting, getting dinner ready. They'll be here soon. It was days before mobile phones. But normally they were round about just as my mum was about to serve up. There was a cold, cold Christmas in Sheffield. Not like these days when it's quite warm. When he built an igloo with Giles, Amy, myself and Ian. And it even got in the local newspaper. There was sailing together on the pirate ship Hispaniola at the park in Scarborough and digging for buried treasure. And then there was a memory of the little motorboat that Uncle Bernard had. And he took it to the sea in Filey. And this is a big memory for both Giles, Amy and my brother Ian. They were going to launch it from the beach, but the waves were a bit too big. My dad was there and he was saying to Uncle Bernard, "I don't think it's going to be any good going to sea. The waves are too big." But Uncle Bernard, being as optimistic as ever, said, "It'll be fine, it'll be fine." They tried to launch it from the beach and it ended up underwater instead of underwater. Was my dad, was Ian, saying, "I said it was going to sink. I said it was going to sink." But there was much fun rescuing the boat. A lot of the everyday memories happened because Uncle Bernard didn't really like watching TV and he actually got rid of it. And this gave Giles and Amy more time to be creative when they were young, which led to lots of games, cooking experiments and stories. He'd always try to make outings fun by telling stories. I have lots of memories of Sheffield, at Christmas time especially, when we used to put on concerts, plays, all sorts of things, because the TV was firmly off and we had the time to be creative, and it was so much fun, and we learnt so much from that time. He did have a good sense of humour, and I remember all the times of his smile and his laughing on the phone, and the talks he used to have with my dad, laughing. Sometimes it didn't always show, but it was always there, and it was this lovely sense of humour that Uncle Bernard possessed that I really do remember. There was always the barbecue on his birthday in early August, sometimes up in Filey, and there's a photograph of my grandma sat down, tucking into something that Uncle Bernard had just prepared. And there's Uncle Bernard at the barbecue with his blue hat that he always wore when he was doing barbecues and his apron cooking away. And there was once when it coincided with a balloon fiesta in Filey, or maybe in Bristol, and the wind brought some of the largest birthday balloons ever over the house. There were some years that umbrellas were probably more around than balloons, And sometimes some of the days more successful than others, but they're big memories that everyone has. But it was really Uncle Bernard's faith that made the most difference and biggest difference in every part of his life. From teaching Giles and Amy to pray by praying that they could find Amy's comfort blanket, known as Raggy, after she lost it on the beach. And then finding it made such a big impression on Amy. His enthusiasm went into learning to play the guitar so he could lead meetings to praise God. And despite not having musical knowledge, he really persevered at it, and it went from a few chords to being quite proficient in it. And it meant that he could play along with Giles, Amy and Paul, myself and Ian, as we learned different instruments at school at the same time. And his faith helped him to give that perseverance. He could also speak a bit of Romanian, along with Yvonne, so they could take aid out to Romania after the revolution there in 1989. Uncle Bernard also led the North Avon branch of the Full Gospel Businessmen's Fellowship International for a few years, and to reach people for God, as well as many, many Bible studies over the year. The mechanical skills he previously used on racing cars were used to fix up old bicycles to take out to Romania. And this was important because being able to travel often made the difference between being able to find work or not. He also kept old vans used for the first few Romania trips well maintained. So Uncle Bernard was technical, he was adventurous and enthusiastic. But he was also quiet, precise and very, very caring. Coming to faith in the 1980s changed him a lot. And looking back, we can all see that God used the qualities he had already given him in his service. And it also enhanced his perseverance and caring. This really helped him over his last 15 years of ill health. Most importantly to the family, though, he was a loving husband to Yvonne, a father to Giles and Amy, an uncle to Paul and myself, Ian and myself. This is when I'm reading other people's words. And also a very caring brother. And of course, we can't forget Anna. He was so fond of Anna. I remember the phone call on his 80th birthday. I was speaking to him, and he had such a lovely day, and he was telling me all the fun things he got up to as Anna was that day. And Anna made such a difference. She really gave him something to look forward to. So Uncle Bernard will be missed, but never forgotten. And we know that we've got an overwhelming comfort that he's safe and secure in the Lord's hands.
Thank you for that. Give me another regret that I never heard Uncle Bernard play the guitar. With our hearts full of these thoughts and memories, let's come to the Lord in prayer. Let's pray. Our great God and loving Heavenly Father, we come to you and we worship you. You are the one true and living God. You are the creator of all things. You've made each one of us. You know all about us. And you, O Lord, alone, you are worthy of all of our praise. We come to you in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Saviour. We thank you that he came into this world and lived a perfect life here, and that he understands our sorrows and sympathizes with us in our grief. We thank you that he died to pay the price for sin for all who believe in him, and that he rose again the third day. We rejoice in the hope he set before us by his resurrection. He's conquered death and opened the gate of heaven for all who believe in him. And we thank you that for every Christian, to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. We remember with gratitude the life of our dear brother Bernard. And we thank you for every treasured memory of him. We thank you for all the blessings you gave to him in home and family life, in the workplace and in the church. Thank you for the great love that he had of this place, but above all, for the love that he had for the Word of God and for the Gospel, and his unfailing desire to see others come to know the Lord Jesus. We thank you for his firm personal faith in Jesus Christ and his life of service lived for him. We thank you that even if we've known the joys and blessings of this life, as our brother did indeed, to be with Christ is far better. How we thank you that you're described in your word as the Father of compassion and the God of all comfort. We know that our loss is heaven's gain, but you, Lord, know that our loss is great and our feeling of it is profound. You know the pain of separation, the sense of loss and sadness that's gripping our hearts even now. Grant, we pray, your support and strength, your peace and rest of soul to all of us. And we ask you especially to draw near to Yvonne, to Giles, to Amy, Andrew and Anna, and to Paul and Ian and all the family. Lord, bless them and comfort them at this time. May they know that underneath are the everlasting arms. Be to them all that they need, both now and over the coming weeks and months. In this time of prayer and contemplation, turn our thoughts to you. Help us that we may gain a heart of wisdom, remembering the shortness and uncertainty of our own lives. Grant us grace to live as we ought to live, daily turning from sin and turning to the Saviour, following the example of Bernard and all your faithful servants. Hear our prayers, which we offer in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and for his sake. Amen. We'll stand to sing now the modern version of the 23rd Psalm, "The Lord's My Shepherd, I'll Not Want."
Lie in pastures green. He
the reading from Revelation chapter 21.
Now I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away. Also, there was no more sea. Then I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from heaven saying, "Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people. God himself will be with them and be their God. And God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There shall be no more death, nor sorrow, nor crying. There shall be no more pain, for the former things have passed away." Then he who sat on the throne said, "Behold, I make all things new." And he said to me, "Write, for these words are true and faithful." And he said to me, "It is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give of the fountain of the water of life freely to him who thirsts. He who overcomes shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son." Amen.
Once again, we thank God for his word to us today.
Well, it is a solemn thing to be back here again so soon. Some of you would not know, of course, but having left here at the end of the year, Claire and I were only here 2 weeks ago to take another funeral of a church member here. And we're all reminded by this that none of us knows what a day will bring forth. At the same time, as I've already said, it is a great privilege and an honour to be here, especially in connection with such a dear and godly man. Of course, Bernard wasn't perfect, and he would never have said that he was. He had his flaws, just like we all do. But by the grace of God, he was a man of God. Very few have been such an encouragement to me in ministry as he was. And I'm glad I told him so as well. When we began here in 2012, I hoped that we might deliver an invitation card through every door in Thornbury. And very few people offered to help with that. But I tell you, this man did. This man did, along with Yvonne. And between them, they did a great number of them. When I began an outreach on Thornbury Market, who was it who felt the call and began to turn up, health permitting, week after week? It was this man again. For about 3 years. Who was it that got on board, joined the membership here, discussed theology with me many times, prayed with passion, sometimes burned with indignation at injustice, who had such a serious side and yet such a wonderful sense of humour, who was known in the church, if you could hear it, for his rather loud exhale at the end of a sermon or of a service. Claire would say to me, "I think Bernard really liked the sermon today." I said, "Why?" "Oh, you should have heard him exhale at the end." Now, fortunately, he didn't hold his breath through the whole sermon, of course. All these things I observed and I knew of this man, and yet, of course, knowing him for only a few years, Most of the things that make up Bernard, I knew little of, and as is often the case, I learned many things just now, hearing the tribute. There's much more to his earlier life that I wasn't party to, his love to his family, his service to the poor and needy, his ministry among work colleagues, and so many more things than that. And I say all of this to underline how glad I was to have known him, and how glad I will be one day to see him again. Because he isn't here today. This man who I've been speaking about is not in this box. This man is in the immediate presence of God today. And I believe that for all of us who know and love the Lord, that is a massive comfort, because we know how much Bernard loved his Saviour. So what could be better for him than where he is? Nothing. Nothing. Nivonne shared with me last week that she'd had an automated telephone call from the hospital recently that gave her the option to inform them that Bernard was no longer at this address. Now, I think some people would be full of grief at a phone call like that, at such a reminder. But she told me, and I quite agree with her, that it was a comfort. For genuine Christians, it's a comfort. Why? Well, because he indeed was no longer at this address. He has a new address. He is in the celestial city. But how can we be sure about that? You may come here today, you're not a Christian, you say, well, surely at all funerals people speak with this kind of certainty about people who've died. I promise you, I don't. I don't. But regarding Bernard, I will. How dare I speak with any confidence about the eternal destiny of any other person? Well, this man was the man he was because he met another man. Bernard left to himself, you see. We've heard many wonderful features to his life before he became a Christian. Many wonderful characteristics too. But he would not have been the man that we knew. He was transformed by faith in Jesus Christ, the God-man, the Saviour. Everything we loved and admired in Bernard truly was a reflection of the fact that Christ lived in him and through him. He was a man of faith. And holding on to that thought, I just want to read some familiar words from Hebrews 11, the great chapter about faith, and I'm going to apply them in a rather direct way to our dear friend. Bernard died in faith. Bernard confessed that he was a stranger and pilgrim on the earth. For those who say such things declare plainly that they seek a homeland. And truly, if they had called to mind that country from which they had come out, they would have had opportunity to return. But Bernard desired a better, that is, a heavenly country. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called his God, for he has prepared a city for him. Reminding us of the Saviour's words in John 14. I go to prepare a place for you. I trust you'll forgive me for taking Hebrews 11 and applying it directly to our brother, who, like the saints of old, has indeed died in faith. The truth, of course, is that the Bible is to be applied to all of our lives directly. It's not a dead letter, but the living word of the living God. And there are just a few words I want to focus on here. Just these. And I want, I hope, I trust you will remember them about our brother. He desired a better country. He desired a better country. How do I know that Bernard's in heaven? Well, because he actually wanted to be, for a start. It does help. Lots of people very vaguely say, oh, I hope I go to heaven when I die. But, you know, they've got no real desire to be there and no real idea what heaven is. All they're really concerned about is, just in case there is a place called hell, I don't want to go there. Well, let me tell you, there is. And you don't want to go there, but people often don't get any further than that in their thinking. Most people just don't want to believe that death is the end of everything. It isn't. And they want to have some hope of continuing existence. But what is heaven? It's a real place. Outside of time and space and all the created order, it's the place where God directly and personally and continually manifests his presence. It's where he is. It's where he is seen as he is. Most people, though, don't really want to go to heaven. You might be surprised that I say that. Of course, they don't want to go to hell either, but they don't really want to go to heaven. How can I say something like that? Well, most people have absolutely no time for God in their lives in this world. None. No interest. God is irrelevant. He is to be ignored. And my question is this: if you ignore God all your life, why would you want to be in his immediate presence for all eternity? It doesn't add up, really, does it? It doesn't make sense. And I can turn this round at this point and say that I know that Bernard is in heaven because he wanted to know more of God while he was on earth and not less. Because he delighted in joining together with God's people and in hearing God's word and in studying God's word. And it was a signal pleasure in my life to be sat oftentimes in that vestry, sometimes around at Bernard and Yvonne's house, in different places, sat round with the word of God open and talking together about the things of the Lord. He desired to know more of God in this life. And now he knows everything of God. And all the questions that he and I would bat backwards and forwards as we sat on camping chairs in Thornbury Market, he's got all the answers now. Every true Christian, you see, desires a better country. Better in every sense. We had a passage read to us just now from Revelation 21. And here are some words from chapter 7. They shall neither hunger anymore, nor thirst anymore. The sun shall not strike them, nor any heat, for the Lamb who is in the midst of the throne will shepherd them and lead them to living fountains of waters, and God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. Why is heaven a better country? There is one outstanding reason: the Lamb who is in the midst of the throne. It's all about him. Everything we're talking about today is all about him, if you hadn't worked that out yet. Jesus Christ is there. He is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. He's the Good Shepherd. He leads his people to fountains of living waters. He wipes away their tears. He cares for his people. He provides for every need. He answers every question. He is all the glory of Emmanuel's land. He is all in all. He's everything. Everything you could ever want or hope or desire will be found, is found in him. And he excludes all sin, all suffering, all sorrow, and fills all his people with constant and renewing delight and wonder. In another scripture, we read that eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love him. Dear friends, we do not sorrow like those who have no hope, as Paul wrote to the Thessalonians. Our brother Bernard desired a better country, and now he's found it. When we begin to reflect on all the glories of it, there are glimpses laid out of the glory of eternity in the pages of Scripture. But I believe it's the experience of every true Christian that whatever we have going on down here, many things going on in our lives, when we begin to think about the glories of eternity and the greatness of the throne of God and what it will be to be in his presence, to look upon his face, there is a part of us that says, I want to go too. I want to go too. And that may sound strange to you if you're not a follower of Jesus. You say, well, you're just saying this because you're the preacher. You're really into all this stuff, so I expect you to say that. But I know for a fact I've got friends in this room. I've got real friends in this room. I did come from a long way, but I didn't just parachute in to take this service knowing nothing about anybody here and nothing about the man who is now in the presence of God. And I tell you, I've got friends in this room, and I know your heart's beating the same way. And you will join with me and say, yes, I want to go too. Now, that doesn't mean that we're fatalists. Doesn't mean we're not willing to wait our turn and trust the Lord. doesn't mean we've got plenty to live for and things to do. It's only this. It is that when you clear everything else away, it is inescapable that the very best this world can ever offer is nothing. Nothing compared to what is to come. Yeah. And even on a day like today, when the sky is as blue as can be and the sun is as strong as it's been in February since ever, since ever, we can say it's nothing. Nothing compared to what is to come. Now, I enjoy Antiques Roadshow, although I usually have to record it to watch later because I've generally got better things to do on Sundays. But it has a feature you may have seen called Good, Better, Best. Three similar objects in appearance, and it is down to the presenter with the expert and the help of the audience to rank these three items in order of value. Good, better, best. Does she get it right? Sometimes she does, sometimes she doesn't. And I only mention that because our translation here, thinking that Bernard desired a better country, the word better doesn't quite do justice in English to what the Greek implies. What's actually implied is best. Good, better, best. But it's the best. Bernard desired the best country. That country is not just a bit better. It's not just an upgrade or a marginal improvement. It is the best country. And you could tell that Bernard desired a better country because he didn't love this one so much. I don't mean that he wasn't patriotic and so forth. I mean that he lived as the scriptures say in Hebrews 11, like a stranger and a pilgrim. He had a light grip on the things of this world. If you knew him, you know he would be keen to fund good works. He would be keen to give what he had in the service of God. And that's just the tip of the iceberg, as it were. It's not just about money. He was keen to give his time, his days. We have heard that he had ill health for 15 years, more or less, and several serious illnesses. And it seemed to me, in the time I knew him, that nothing would stop him. You feel some people won't come to church if they've broken their fingernail. Bernard would come unless, well, I almost felt sometimes as though even had had to kind of hold him down and say, no, you're too ill, you can't come. Nothing would stop him. If he could come, he would come. He gave of himself because he loved the Lord. He desired a better country. He knew he was just traveling through this world. He was here temporarily and he was going to make the most of the time he had here. In fact, he had the number of years on this earth mentioned in Psalm 90 verse 10. He had the 80 years, more than 80 years and 10. Think about it though, it's not that long, is it? It's not that long. Truly life is short. And many of us live in a state of denial about how short life really is. As though we're always going to be here. As though nothing matters more than what we can have and what we can amass and what we can get to ourselves. Again, there's nothing wrong with having things and enjoying them. Bernard loved his car. He loved cars, but he didn't live for them. Didn't live for them. He enjoyed them because they were here to be enjoyed, and glory to God. And it glorifies God that he did. All the ingenuity of man involved in cars and mechanics and engineering and all of that. It's all to the glory of God. He didn't live for his car. Didn't live for cars or anything like that. Now we live for Christ. Perhaps today the challenge must come to us first if we profess to be Christians. Before it comes to any of us who don't yet know him as Saviour, don't yet know the Lord Jesus as Saviour, the challenge is, are you really living in reality that you're on a journey, stranger, pilgrim, here for a brief time, here for a season, then above, O Lamb of God, I come. Bernard and I agreed on a number of things. And one of them, by and large, was Brexit. But I'm not talking about that now. Except to say this. I find it revealing the number of people who profess to be Christians who are either on one side of this argument or the other, who are becoming so worked up about it as though it's either going to bring about paradise on earth or Armageddon, whichever side you take up. And you find people who profess to follow Jesus Christ getting so worked up about it. I'm not saying that we shouldn't have opinions. I'm not saying we shouldn't have strong opinions. But God is ultimately in control. And this world is just for a season. We're only here for a while. Some people say, what about my children? And I'm just going to be blunt here and say, well, they'll only be here for a while too. What's more important is what's to come. Life is short for all of us. Do you really desire the best country? Or do your overreactions to events in this life, Brexit, whatever, betray the fact that somehow you've lost sight of the fact of the infinite glory to come and that God is in control of history anyway? But then a closing challenge must come to you, my friend, if you are here today and you're not a follower of Jesus Christ like our dear friend was. Because if he could, I'm absolutely sure, if he could, Bernard would come back here today and call me out if I said nothing about this. But he can't. I'm going to do it anyway because I wouldn't do anything else. A challenge must come to you if this all means nothing to you. If you don't seek a better country. If all your investment is here in this life, in these few brief years you've got. Maybe you haven't thought about it. Perhaps you don't want to think about it. Well, may I appeal to you today, confronted with the reality that life is short, to consider Jesus Christ, the eternal Son of God, who came from glory into this world, took human form and lived a perfect life, offering that life on Calvary's cross to pay the price for the sin of all who trust in him. Because the sinless Saviour died, my sinful soul is counted free, for God the just is satisfied to look on him and pardon me. See, we've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. That's what he tells us in his word. Bernard is not in the better, the best country because he was a better man than the chap down the road, whoever that may be. Neither will I be. No, Bernard is in the better country, the glorious and eternal kingdom, because he placed his faith in Jesus Christ, who is the only perfect man. The only one. And he knew that all his sins were laid on Jesus instead of on him. But Jesus Christ didn't just die. He bore the sins of all his people. And he rose from the dead the third day. We shall shortly lay this beloved body in the ground. We all have never dying souls. Soul and body are separated at present. Bernard is with Christ right now. His body is here, but we bury it only to await the great day, the coming day when Christ comes again and all his people will be gloriously transformed, body and soul reunited. We grieve today. We give thanks today. But we rejoice, for our brother desired a better country and he has found it. Do you desire a better country? Will you be found a citizen of that glorious place after however many years remain for you here? May it be so. Trust Christ, and it will be so. I have a friend who's a minister who, about the same time as Bernard passed away himself, lost a dear older saint within his church. And he shared a poem with me, a poem or hymn by Charles Wesley. And I'll just close with it today. Rejoice for a brother deceased. Our loss is his infinite gain. A soul out of prison released and freed from its bodily pain. With songs let us follow his flight and mount with his spirit above. Escape to the mansions of light and lodged in the Eden of love. Our brother the haven hath gained, outflying the tempest and wind. His rest he hath sooner obtained and left his companions behind. Still tossed on a sea of distress, hard toiling to make the blessed shore where all is assurance and peace and sorrow and sin are no more. There all the ship's company meet who sailed with the Saviour beneath, and shouting each other they greet and triumph o'er sorrow and death. The voyage of life's at an end. The mortal affliction is past, the age that in heaven they spend for ever and ever shall last. He desired a better country. and he has found it. Say, thanks be to God. Amen. Let's stand to sing our closing hymn. Hymn number, it's not got a number, has it? No, I'm getting into my old habits here. Our closing hymn. And don't sing the chorus thoughtlessly. Think about it. All that thrills my heart is Jesus. Well, is that true? How much it should be true. Who can cheer the heart like Jesus? Let's stand to sing. Remain standing for the benediction.
Amen.
peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in the knowledge and the love of God and of his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be amongst you and remain with you always. Amen.